to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Indeed, let's get the radio. Let's plug these switches and press the right buttons. It's September something. It's 5 o'clock PST. It's September the 8th, 2014. Happy birthday, Jasper Taylor. I have to say that. Anyway, I am JP. We are on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Wolf Spirit Radio, wolfspiritradio.com, Ever Beyond Radio at Ever Beyond Radio.com. We are also tonight joined by my very dear and special friend and guest, Shari Edwards. Without any further ado, we've got a lot to talk about. So, hello, Shari. How are you?
Hi. It is great to be here.
See, what we've done is I haven't told anybody about this. I've kept it really quiet because I think it's probably going to be an archive that will get lots of plays on YouTube and places like that, because this is really important information. So those of you who've been regular listeners of Journeys will know that Shari Edwards is all about finding the truth through frequency, and You've done some interesting research recently. So really, basically, Shari, here's the soapbox. I'll give you a lectern. You can stand your papers on it, and away you go. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How would you like to have a button on somebody's chest, and that if they told the truth, it turned blue and beautiful shades of blue, and if they told a lie, it would turn horrible shades of ugly orange red? Well, maybe somebody loves that color, but, you know, the color that they paint the devil. And what would your world be like if you had that button?
A cognitive dissonance button.
Very good. But we want to think of ourselves as truthful, integralful people. And there's a lot of people out there who are lying and manipulating and spinning. And so tonight we are going to move from a very simple idea of truth and the knowledge of truth and why that's important up to what has been spun for the last couple of days and what people can do about it. And we're going to provide software to people, if they would so desire, because you and I both think that there's a great big ruse being played out, a big false flag, and we're going to supply them a way for them to tell if this is the truth or not, if they so desire. So would you wish for a truth button?
Well, if I had one on now, what would it look like? Yes, Shari, I'd love a truth button. I'd love everybody to know exactly what I was thinking.
Well, that's a bit,
yeah, isn't it?
That's a bit intimidating,
isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. That how does my dress look?
Does my ass look big in this? Yeah. Oh man, this could cause problems, Shari. You know,
it would
having
be absolute,
a place of total truth.
It would be chaos.
Yeah,
but we still say we want it.
Yeah,
but when people attempt to tell us the truth, we sort of slap them.
Isn't it? I mean, you know, when I was single, right, I would look at dating sites, right, and all of the women would say, I just want an honest man. And I just think to myself, no, you don't. You really, really don't.
Or a court system?
Yeah, that's right. I want a fair trial. I demand the right to a fair trial. Yeah, right. Yeah, that the kind of yeah, right, right. That's the right you get. Yeah, right.
It'd be a lot more divorces.
Yeah.
A lot of people would get fired because of what they think about their boss. There'd probably be a lot less money change hands in the banking world because people are not telling the truth about what they're doing with the money, the bankers. And look at all this crazy stuff with the housing problem. Look at the CDC and what they've been caught with in the last couple of days, that they withheld measles statistics and they deliberately let children get these vaccinations knowing they were going to be traumatized. Now, that kind of lie, we want that to be out in the open from our government or whoever's saying it or our queen or our president. We want them to tell the truth because they control our lives and our health. Look at what happened, you know, way back 13 years ago, was it, with 9/11? We still don't have the straight of that, and we're facing it in the next few days again because they tend to do something on that anniversary. Look at the garbage happening in the U.S. about the Internal Revenue Service. And no, there's no such emails, and now they found them. And no, they didn't say that. They said this. Look at what happened on 60 Minutes. And this has a lot to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. There was a guy named Dylan Jones. He has a couple of names. But he wrote a book about what really went on in Benghazi. And Laura somebody was the interviewer. And he said, yes, there was a stand down. No, people were not told to go rescue, just let them die and whatever, in that Benghazi situation with Christopher Stevens, the ambassador. And the day after, or a couple of days after, the man's life was threatened, they jerked his book deal with Prentice Hall. The lady who did the interview was fired. And we did an evaluation of his voice, and he was telling the truth. But right now, he is on the run for his life. Now, there's another book coming out called 13 Hours of Benghazi. This has been all over Fox News, and they said there was an order to stop and not go help these people in the embassy. Are they telling the truth? We're going to talk about that. We have been told that there is a laptop that they confiscated from an ISIS stronghold, and the plans are to take these 11 planes that have been missing and fill them up with radiation and bubonic plague and Ebola, and the stuff that went on with Ebola already was just to see if it was really as virulent as they think it is. And they're going to send those planes to the U.S. And if you blow them out of the sky, all that stuff comes trembling down into the land and the people. And then they're either going to force you to take a vaccination that you really don't want, or you're going to die, or radiation, or bubonic plague, or whatever is going on. What do you think is going on, JP?
I've got a pair of malfunctioning headphones that won't
it won't right. Turn off.
Yeah, there we go. That's that sound like the sea. So even in the chat room, Patrick's saying, no, I don't think I want a cognitive dissonance button. we go enough. So so this is interesting that, you know, that there's a lot of information that's being disappeared at the moment. This is part of the ongoing conversation. People are being taken down, and like you're saying, people are really seriously lying And how do we trap it? I mean, there has to be a frequency antidote to this whole thing.
There is, and we can play that for people if they want. But what I think we the people insist on is that people in control of us need to be telling us the truth so we know how to prepare and to respond. And you and I talked about this the other day. This is all false flag, and they're just telling us this to scare us and to cause fear and to make us get these awful vaccinations. Well, what if I provided a UM that would tell you whether or not you've been exposed to the bubonic plague or Ebola, and you could turn around and say, you rats behind, you told us that that plane was full of Ebola, and none of us down here have been exposed, you lying rat. We could call them on what they're trying to push us into and say, you're not telling the truth. You're manipulating to fill your own ego or pocket or whatever they're filling for appreciating themselves. We can call them on their garbage. That's what I'd like. So do you want to start with 9/11 several years ago? Do you want to really know who was behind 9/11? When was that? 13 years ago?
Yeah, you know what's really interesting, Sherry? Oops. The pre stuff that we saw, like these like the lone gunman and the Simpsons and all these things, where we see these images of the Twin Towers and 9/11 and, you know, this stuff. That kind of injection of memes. Is it possible to detect an injected meme? Do you know what I mean by an injected meme? You know what I mean?
No.
All right. So here's an injected. Here's an example of an injected meme that will really make it bring it out into the open here. When you had the moon landing in 1969, what we saw on television was a reconstruction or a pre-construction, let's say. And what we saw were these people in suits, and they were kind of bouncing around in slow motion. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
1969.
That's right. We were kids, or, you know. One of the things that happened was that we were prepared for that by the film 2001 A Space Odyssey. Because in 2001 A Space Odyssey, in beautifully shot panorama, that is incidentally the same dimension as the monolith, in this panorama, we are introduced to the idea that in space, people float around in slow motion. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And people float around to the tune of classical music. Okay? Now, that is what I call an injected meme. Because the reality is not true. If you look at people who are on the Mir, on the space station, they're not moving in slow motion. They're kicking from one side of the capsule to the other. They're really moving fast. Because you can. There's no friction. There's no resistance by gravity. So the opposite of the meme that has been injected is actually the truth. So we've been fooled, we've been conditioned by this meme to accept that if you see somebody floating about slow motion, that they're in space. And that's what it is in space, but it's not true. Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Yes. Do you mean there's no music in space?
That's right. They don't have, is it not Dvorak? Strauss. They don't have Strauss in the space station when you approach it. It's probably more like Tool or Nirvana or Foo Fighters. So, yes.
I wonder who's in control.
Well, this is the thing. in my research over the last few years, looking at, you know, doing various interviews with people, there does seem to be a kind of ladder of what they call the Illuminati, or the Dark Agency, or the, you know, the Nazianists, but it seems to be like a hierarchy. It's all like a ladder, and they're all different rungs on the same ladder, is really what I'm saying. So you've got like the Illuminati, the Jesuits, or the Crown Corporation, or the Rothschilds, or the Khazarians, or the Sumerians, or the Titans. You know, it all comes back to these 13 giants that landed on our planet a long, long time ago, and their brethren, their kindred, they're self-styled farmers, and they believe that we're like cattle to them, and they farm us for our fourth dimensional exudation, like Monsters Inc. That's my theory of the universe so far.
Well, I think it would take some really crazy person to want to be in charge of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, nobody said the devil was sane.
That's true. I'm looking at this from the perspective of a U.S. citizen that's paying 64% in taxes. I am already just the chattel of the IRS. I work 7 months a year to pay taxes. What else can they take? What little else can I survive on?
That's right. Well, part of it is to put you in a position of stress. Part of the reason that you're taxed like that is to put you in stress, because when you're stressed, you emit certain frequencies, certain vibrations that is harvested by other dimensional beings, and we can't see them because we're blind to them, but your vocal analysis software can detect them, I believe, because they would show up, they would have the signature. Questions that I'm asking you.
I believe if we had a voice to analyze, we could certainly look at it. We can look at some of the outer space frequencies, and I think outer space is much like our oceans. It's just not as dense. But that people can move through that just like they move through the oceans.
Yes.
Here on Earth.
Correct.
Well, let's start in the beginning at 9/11, not the first attack on the U.S., but certainly the most memorable in our lifetime, and thousands of people killed. And even when you hear about Pearl Harbor, they say there was a warning beforehand. You know, there's all kinds of stories about there was warnings here, that it went straight down, that it was to steal all the gold. You know, there's a lot of information going on. Who do you believe was the most knowledgeable about 9/11? Was it the president? Was it Cheney? Was it the New York government, the mayor, Bloomberg? Who was it? Rumsfeld?
Damn, damn, damn. But I already know the answer to this question.
We have the scoop. We have done people's vocal prints. Just as you have an energy body, and if there's somebody is at your door and wants to give you $1 million because you won a prize, you get really excited. Or if somebody calls and tells you that somebody that you love died, then you get depressed and sad. That you, from a cellular place, create that energy. And it's picked up by the nerve fibers in your body and sent to your brain for interpretation. And it all shows through your voice. So we were doing a favor for somebody, saying, who knew the most about 9/11 originally? And just as a lark, we threw in somebody that we knew wasn't guilty. So we looked at Cheney, we looked at Bush several times, and it turned out to be Colin Powell. He knew more than anyone about this. Here's a bit about, I'm going to read this to you, because they can get copies of this. They can write to me, just my name at Gmail, and it's Sherry with an A, S-H-A-R-R-Y, and I'll send you all this stuff. I included Colin Powell because I didn't really hear much about him being involved. I thought he was someone who didn't know much about the depths of 9/11. I expected to find a strong personality, but one that had no foundational knowledge of 9/11, even though he was Secretary of State at the time. From the frequencies contained in his voice, from the vocal print that we analyzed so far, and we did several because I didn't believe it, Powell is and was one of the most knowledgeable of the events of 9/11, down to planning and fantasizing. Bush and Rumsfeld both lacked this foundation. Cheney's vocal print contains a left-brain foundation perspective, but lacks a right-brain carry-through perspective. So we need to really investigate Colin Powell if you really want to know. And I think it was a put-up job, put-down job. I think they were covering up something going on there in the trade towers. And I think they didn't care who they killed. And that's the definition of psychotic. I believe our government is me first, you suffered, too bad. And I believe that Obama is teaching us, trying to teach us, you can have what I say you can have, when I say you can have it, on my terms, and you won't have anything else. He's got us so cornered with health care and squared into this little bottle that you can't get out. Here's one of the things I learned recently, and I hate. We had somebody come into our clinic, and they were very suicidal. And I wanted to get some basic testing done, and we have a doctor that we work with that'll help us verify what we find so we can write it up, and the real world will believe it because we had a doctor verify it. And so she asked me if he had a medical card, and I said, yes. And she said, I can't see him then because I will not dance to their tune, and they will not allow people to come and see me who have medical cards because I won't do it their way. I said, that's okay. We'll pay for it. They said, no, we also cannot accept money for any service for any person who has a medical card. That means they have a stranglehold on who is going to be doing the health care. And anybody trying to step out of that health care that they dictate is going to die from lack of service. If he'd had a broken arm, she couldn't have treated him. If he'd been run over with a car, she just had to look at him. Oh, he's got a medical card, can't do anything. So my thing is, don't tell him you have a medical card and go on and get what you want. There is other people who come to our clinic. One of them was a man who had a total cholesterol of 100, emaciated, skinny, drawn up, 65, 70 years old, and he said, the doctor's forcing me on statins. Now, these statins that cause male infertility and inability to use CoQ10 and all of these other kinds of things that are happening long-term because of statins. And there's something like 35 million men and women on these different kinds of statin drugs. He came to us because he couldn't think, and because his doctor was forcing him on statin drugs because they wanted his cholesterol below 100. They're changing the rules so they can force you on medication to cause you to be sick so they can treat you for the sickness that they caused. I think this is a crazy world. I think 9/11 was done so that Homeland Security could be set up and the rest of us programmed to live in fear, and they're doing it in our schools. Some of the textbooks they're changing, they're teaching these school kids, yes ma'am, no ma'am, right here, do this, sign your name that way, go to the bathroom here, eat this. Look at this atrocious lunch program they have put out. Each community cannot dictate what they want their kids to have. It's coming down from Michelle Obama. And you can't have your pink cookies that went along with your sports team anymore because they have too many calories. You know, they could have gotten around that one by cutting the cookie in half. But why is the government dictating that you can't send your kid with a brown bag lunch? Everything has to be scrutinized. And if you don't have everything in there, they're going to throw that out and give them chicken McNuggets. That really happened in Chicago. Throughout the home made lunch and gave this child chicken McNuggets. The food we eat, the air we breathe, is full of radiation. The water we drink, full of bleach and fluoride and garbage. The foods we eat, genetic modifications. I cannot understand why people are just sitting there and not doing a vote of no confidence for the whole government. Kick them all out. Anybody in office right now that isn't for the people first needs to go. But these people lie and finagle and manipulate. And I don't think some of them know better. Like, we did an evaluation on Nancy Pelosi and compared her to Ronald Reagan. And she has some of the same problems that Ronald Reagan had before they announced that he had Alzheimer's. And go back and look at some of the math and some of the things that she says, and it doesn't make sense. Unemployment causes an increase in jobs. You've got to vote on it first before you can see what's in it. Crazy stuff. Now we put up with that because we don't have a tool. I just used a tool to tell you who was involved in 9/11. That tool is waiting free for you on my website, soundhealthoptions.com. There's 5 or 6 steps there. Do this, download this. You don't even have to register it. There's a little booklet that you can ask for. It doesn't run very well on Macs. You have to parallel your Mac. But you can use this. There's several videos there under Happy Hour because we do a lot of evaluations of people's voices. You can use that to tell who's fibbing to you. You can look at the octaves where their voice reside. And with Colin Powell, he had a big gap in his voice. And if there's frequencies here and a big gap and then frequencies over there, they aren't telling you the full story. And we've put up enough videos so that people can learn how to tell who's telling the truth and who isn't. Now, right now, who would you like to know whether or not they're telling the truth? How about the people in Benghazi? Any of you watch this 13 hours of Benghazi? About the ambassadors who got killed. From what we can ascertain, that was really a gun running operations to get guns in over there. And they were better off with having this guy killed. And that's why they really did tell these people to stand down. I have a little bit of a video if people are not familiar with what's going on. They're running it and running it and running it, rerunning it on Fox News. It was a 4.5-hour interview, 3 guys, and I'll dig up their names here in just a second. Benghazi reports, 13-hour report. 3 guys that were there, and they're in a book, 13 Hours of Benghazi by Mitchell Zukoff. So the 3 guys there, Chris Peronto, Mark Geist, G-E-I-S-T, and John Teagan, and they are being interviewed by Brent Baer. And what they are saying is they were there, and they wanted to go in and help, and they were told to stand down by somebody named Bob. Do we have time to play a bit of that?
As much as you like.
Okay, let me find it. burst. Isn't that awful?
A clip of Bob, indeed. So what, you know, this is fascinating that you're able to tell, now, in a while, I'm going to talk about something that is probably slightly unpalatable, but it's part of the big picture. We'll finish this because it'll lead one from the other. So, have you found your piece?
Okay, and I have, but I have. It's got a silly commercial on it, silliness for a while. Let me just turn.
Oh, do you want me to play this clip?
Yes, would you?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. I was looking for it on my computer.
Yeah. So it's a long. Oh, right. Where's the video? Here we are. It's loading. The video is loading. And a U.S. security team in Benghazi was held back from immediately responding to the attack. I hope they haven't got an advert. So I'm going to have to mute the thing if there's an advert.
There usually is.
Special report with Brett Byer.
Tonight,
here we go.
A dramatic new turn in what the Obama administration and its allies would like to dismiss as an old story. The September 11th, 2012 attacks in Benghazi, Libya, which killed U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans. Speaking out publicly for the first time are three of the men who were on the ground and in the fight that night in Benghazi. They were security operators at the secret CIA annex in Benghazi, in effect the first responders to any attack. This is ahead of their new book, 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi, a book that's out next week. They speak exclusively and at length to Fox News about what they saw and how they specifically responded that night. I asked them about one of the most controversial questions arising from Benghazi. Was help delayed?
5 minutes, we're ready. Thumbs up, we're ready to go.
Then what happened?
I said, hey, we're ready to go. Bob looks right through me and looks at the team leader and goes, you guys need to wait.
Bob was the CIA's base chief in Benghazi.
He's on the phone talking to somebody. I assumed they were trying to coordinate us to link up with 17 February.
Which is the local militia.
It had probably been 15 minutes, I think, and I got out of the car. And Bob and the team lead were standing on the front porch. And I just said, hey, you know, we need to get over there. We're losing the initiative. You know, and Bob just looked straight at me and said, stand down, you need to wait.
We're starting to get calls from the State Department, guys, saying, hey, we're taking fire. We need you guys here. We need help.
After being repeatedly told to wait, the security team says they defied orders and headed to the besieged consulate on their own. They asked repeatedly for armed air support, which never came. Looking back, the team believes that if they hadn't been delayed for nearly half an hour, things might have turned out differently.
If I gave you that 30 minutes back, would Ambassador Stevens and Sean Smith be alive today?
Yes, they would still be alive. My gut is yes.
You in on that?
I'd strongly believe if we'd have left immediately, they'd still be alive today.
And I asked about that infamous YouTube video, which was blamed for the violence in Benghazi.
And there was no whisper that this video was a major problem in Benghazi or something?
Didn't know about video until I got to Germany. No idea about any video, no.
In a statement to Fox News, a senior intelligence official insists that, quote, there were no orders to anybody to stand down in providing support.
He used the word stand down. A number of people now, including the House Intelligence Committee, they insist no one was hindered from responding to the situation at the compound. The committee's wording was, quote, there was no stand-down order given to American personnel attempting to offer assistance that evening. So what do you say to that?
It happened.
It happened on the ground. All I can talk about is what happened on the ground that night.
To you?
To us. To myself twice and to Tig once. It happened that night. That happened. We were told to wait and stand down. We were delayed three times.
In a statement to Fox News, however, a senior intelligence official does allow that the security team was, in fact, delayed from responding while the CIA's top officer in Benghazi tried to rally local support The official points to the Senate Intelligence Committee report that stated the committee found, quote, no evidence of intentional delay or obstruction by the chief of base or any other party. You can hear the full firsthand account of what really happened in Benghazi when Fox News aired 13 hours at Benghazi. The inside...
Blah, 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 blah.
I used this same computer program that we are offering everyone for free to evaluate the voices of these three people, and they all came out the same thing. And I just sent it to you, but I'll read it to the audience. Your highest note is associated with the expression of physical prioritizing. Personal control over what happens in your physical environment resides with this note. Your highest note is also associated with the expression of what you consider to be your physical domain. Having dominion over your physical environment resides with this frequency. Your highest note is associated with the expression of duty to work and accomplishment. The ability to see the flaws in a plan and make it right resides with this note. When in doubt, have the courage to go to the source and ask for clarification. Being able to prioritize what needs to be done emotionally is not always easy for you. This is directly from the printout of the computer. Now, if that isn't proof enough to show you that that's what these people were concerned about, the biggest thing about that, there's no ego in here. No C-sharp, which is my way or the highway. I'm doing this for a purpose and I'm going to get through. You can see that here's a... Maybe a little bit of a problem.
These guys are people who are very, very practical. They don't take fantasy.
Yes.
They don't take... things have to be checked. Everything has to be in order before they
yes.
act. That's a seventh grade characteristic. And it's like they know the law, the chain of command. That's the word.
Yes.
And they know how it works. And they work within it and for it. And that's where they're very happy. Yeah. So go on.
Computer program told on them. Do we need to take a break or anything at the bottom of the hour?
No, we have two full hours with a break in the middle of lots of shouty things. And then we come back and we have another 55 minutes or so of nice fireside chatty stuff.
Well, here's a revelation. Lois Lerner, that head of that IRS thing, has very similar vocal prints to these people when it comes to physical prioritizing and controlling physical things. But she has incredibly high ego and my way or the highway. These people don't have that ego. They're waiting to take their orders from someone else and finally just stepped beyond it and did it on their own. But Lois Lerner, this was a planned thing with this IRS going on. So you can see people's intentions of what's going on.
Okay, so let's have a look at that. Because you're saying that these guys, by your analysis, are in service to the truth. Would you say that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In service to the physical truth.
And this woman... is in service to money.
Self ego.
Yeah. So, just the world of the personality, the material world. So,
she has no foundation where their entire vocal print is on a foundational level.
Right.
All of her stuff is up in fantasy.
And you're talking about that you get a spread of frequencies when someone speaks.
Yes.
And that's not just like, I'll speak like this and then I'll speak like this, but within one syllable, several frequencies can be embodied, and what you're getting is when you're in truth, you've got a reciprocal force that is happening. And interestingly enough, because I've been thinking about this very seriously, Shari, is that when you are in what they call musical dissonance, you're actually in cognitive resonance. And when you're in musical resonance, you're in cognitive dissonance. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I don't know if I do or not.
Okay, so if you're looking at, for instance, astrology, you've got an opposition, right?
Yes.
That's your reciprocal value.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's the opposition value. Musically, it's quite dissonant. It's the beginning of Purple Haze. It's that, but what happens is that somehow that translates in your brain to your head and your heart are in some way in balance. And therefore, people hear, although it is acoustically, is musically a dissonance, it actually resonates in the heart and the head because they're opposite. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to express
something here, but I can't quite get to it, so maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I use the brain as the frequency of the note, like A's 440 or 432, and I use the heart as the rhythm. Both of those have to combine to make sense or to make coherence out of a song or an emotion or an event or whatever's going on. Is that close?
That's very interesting. So are you talking in terms of tempo? Or are you talking in terms of texture when you're talking about rhythm?
Well, think of the three blind mice sang to the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of rhythm, it would be almost an impossible song to sing because the words and the music lend themselves to a certain rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and the notes lend themselves to a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm. And
so
meaning.
Bringing that together, like all of the notes on the right side of the scale that represent all the blues, you know, G and G sharp, A and A sharp, those are all the kind of mellow mind kind of things, and the C's and C sharps and D's and E's, those are get up and move kind of things. So I don't know what you were going for, but that's kind of how I perceive it.
All right. Well, what was I'm talking about? So, for instance, when you're talking about the frequency of encoded within my speech, modulated with my rhythm, is more information, and somehow that there is. For instance, as you say, there's an E on one octave and a B flat. And do they have to be on the same octave to match? Or is it that there has to be an E content and a B flat content?
They don't have to be in the same octave, though.
No. All right. Okay.
Each octave tells us something different. The bottom octave is going to be your foundation.
Okay. So what frequency band is that? How many cycles is that?
That's three octaves below middle C.
Where's that in frequency? Cycles a second.
Three octaves below middle C? I would have to go figure it out.
Is that C minus?
30, around 30 to 60.
30, so it's just about audible. The lowest audible frequencies. I just wanted to establish what, you know, so essentially the lowest notes of a grand piano.
Around 60 to 80.
Yeah. Well, a bass guitar goes down to 41, and the super low bass will go down to 30 or something like that. Because the super low B, the lowest B is around there, and you can just about hear it. You just feel it.
Well, I am musically illiterate. You know I am.
I know, but you're a scientist, and I can talk frequencies. because I think in terms of, like, physical instruments that we can, like, look at and hear and experience. So this is the foundation octave, coming from the lowest audible frequencies up, one octave above that, which doubles its frequency. So that's 30 to 60. And although, so where do these frequencies occur? How do people, like, for instance, somebody with it's like a tiny little vocal cord. How do they express those frequencies? How can you see if they've got foundation, or is it that people with high squeaky voices don't have foundation? Is that what it's about?
No, they do. There are pieces in the voice that you really don't hear. If you're hearing way up here, there's still some low harmonics. And the other thing we look at is the distance between each note. That gives you a lot of information. So as people are talking and sending air over their vocal cords, which is like two elastic bands, sort of, kind of, it sets up a vibration, just like on a tuning fork. You can take a tuning fork and clack it on something hard, and it'll begin to vibrate, and that'll send off a mechanical energy that your ear picks up as sound.
So
frequency is sound. Frequency also runs on every nerve and every fiber of your neural network, all of your nerve endings, and everything that dictates movement to your finger, or I think this, or I perceive that as blue, it all gets to the brain as a frequency that is vibrating on these many levels. Like, one is the frequency of biomagnetic energy. Two to four is the frequency of bioelectric energy. Those two work together to keep your genes doing what they ought to do, keeping all your chromosomes together. When you look at 4 to 8 cycles per second, you're looking at your biochemistry. And 8 to 16, that's your emotional octave. You have a thought, somehow it triggers something in your brain to say, oh, that's my perception. And it's in that octave and is perceived as an emotion, or reaction. You look at about 16 to 32 cycles per second. That's the structural muscular. And there are things outside of that. The very large muscle, the vastus muscle in your thigh, is about 130 cycles per second. But you can control that by dividing it into two and dividing it again and dividing it again. Those are all those octaves that you talk about in A 440 and 220 and 110, and it's in a song how people go up and down different scales and they hit the same note but in a different octave. All of that goes on in your body all the time, and here's your brain as the central processing unit receiving all of these frequencies in different octaves that all relate to different systems and panels of things going on in your brain. And I don't know how the brain does it, but it interprets all that and sends back a message and say, okay, crook your finger here and you can pick up this pencil. I wish I knew more about the energy body. I know I have one. I can't get up out of this chair without utilizing my energy body. That music stimulates our energy body by frequency. Frequency is everything. You could finish this sentence. Frequency is dot, dot, dot. Any and everything, every emotion, every sensory awareness, every thought, every beat of your heart, that's 3 cycles per second, your adrenals, your everything in the universe is frequency. That has how mankind has decided to measure it, to define it, to control it, even in the atoms. You know, there's all of these circuits. It's all frequency. We just happen to create music in that same pattern as what's going on in the universe, and we just call that entertainment, and that's enjoyment. But it's all speaking to us all the time. You go into a room, there's an energy in the room that's speaking to you. You are an energy being that reacts totally with your microphone and your vitamins and your carrot stew and your pumpkin pudding or whatever else you're doing at the moment. You're adding and subtracting frequencies from your body all the time. And we start with a particular frequency, I think. That's where your work comes in. And I think we are trying to balance that frequency as we go through life. But that's my concept. I just think God's all frequency in one pot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's amazing is that it all remains apparently separate, that we don't kind of all squish into each other and stuff like that. You know, wouldn't that be weird if suddenly boundary layers didn't exist and we just kind of merged into each other? Actually, that's what happened to the people on the Philadelphia experiment, and it was disastrous, so maybe not. So scratch that thought. Let's try not to squish into each other, because we need slightly solid boundaries. But it's amazing how boundaries actually occur, isn't it?
That could be why somebody likes this color and not that color, or why somebody is psychotic and they see things out of the corner of their eyes. They're actually seeing something in a different dimension. If you move your hand really, really quick back and forth, you see two or three hands. You really can't see a firm hand there. And they have made things disappear by causing it to vibrate in a frequency that your eyes can't hear. You can't hear a dog whistle, but a dog can. That's out of your hearing range. So there's a lot of that going on in the universe all the time. And it's how we perceive each other and why we're attracted or not. Why we like this music or not. And on. We are frequency beings. That was a long speech.
Somebody should put that to music, maybe. Because it's a good rap. Because, you know, this is the reality of everything. And I've always been talking about frequencies and how everything's, you know, based on these seven rays. And just you've been proving everything sort of scientifically, empirically. I mean, how many people have you guesstimated? Oh, that hurts. Have you guesstimated that you've treated with sound technology over the? I mean, I've known you since 1995, and you've been going since well before then. How many people have passed through your? Personally, how many people you've sung notes to, and how many people have you trained to make other people do that?
I only sing notes to people usually in comas or people who, animals. We recently had a lady that was in a coma and they couldn't figure out why she was in a coma. And when you looked at her vocal print, I see her face. Somehow I can do her sound. And she had an irregular heart, rhythm that they were not able to detect. And I turned that into them, and I don't know what they did with it, but it's that kind of thing, and I have to turn around and say, I just discovered something recently. My ears are constructed differently, and we have found that my ear has a piece of mineral in it, much like a dolphin or a whale's, and it recently got out of position, and I didn't know which way was up. I had to hang on to the floor or the wall to even feel stable. And that little piece that looks like a seashell underneath an electron microscope had dislodged, and it was only on one side. When I turned on one side, it was to the point where it was, you know, immediate throw up because I was so disoriented. So I've decided that I really came out of the ocean. People have said that I came from outer space, but I really think it was ocean. So as I look at a picture, as I hear a voice, as I touch a substance, that's where we get the frequencies, and then we go test them out. If I give you this frequency, are you going to cause a lot of iron to be turned into an iron cell salt? If I give you this frequency, can you get rid of a cold? And that's what we've been doing for these last 30 years, putting all of those databases together. We have some, I think we said 16, let's figure this out mathematically, I'll get my calculator. We have 16 file drawers full of students and clinicians. So there's four drawers in each one. And each one of them has about 120 people in it. So just since we've been keeping records, that's 7,680 people we've seen, and we see them on more than one time. And we probably have double that for students that we have taught. We really want everybody to know about this because I think, one, it's a new medicine, and two, we're going to tell you how to use this to maybe save your life in the next few days. I don't know if we have to go on break, or what do you want to do for the next 10 minutes, or you want me to start this now?
You'll hear this little guitar tune coming in, and then it won't be long, so we're about a minute away from it. We're talking with Shari Edwards, and her website is
www.soundhealthoptions.com. And it's being revised right now.
Yay! Are you getting a WordPress? Or a Joomla?
We want to put up a thing where people can download more software and automatically register it. When you get 10,000 orders in a day, it's hard to keep up.
Wow. Are you looking for a bit of download software?
We've written it. It's ready to go.
All right.
And audience is going to be the first one.
There we go. So, don't go away, because in a few beats, that's 3 cycles per second, of your heart, we will be back with Shari Edwards, and we're going to heal the world. Yeah, this is Journeys with JP. It really is a journey. Welcome back to Journeys with JP. Tonight my guest is Shari Edwards, but first, a word from our sponsors. We are Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and, there's there's always expensive, because, you know, telling the truth like this is a risky business. You know, people get hurt, and it also costs a lot of money to replace the equipment that is burned out by things that happen, be they natural or otherwise, you know, acts of God or acts of three-letter agencies, or just a bunch of shills or some Chinese hackers or what the heck it's all about. But, server rent and security costs. So please support the station. Keep it running. Actually, I'm still looking for producers. I'm looking for a producer in the Far East, if anybody's got any friends who are musicians or something like that, who can link two computers together. So we're looking for producers in the Far East. But if you wish to donate to the cause, there's several ways you can do it. And my favorite one is the seed pack. And I'm also obsessed by the tune that goes behind that little advert. You know, that one. I wake up every morning and I hit... Because, you know, Shari and I, we talk about frequencies, and, like, we get frequencies in the head. I think a lot of people get frequencies in the head. We'll talk about this in a second, but, you know, do buy the seed pack, and then that funds the hawk and all of his escapades. And we've also had to, we got hit by YouTube. People have been hit by YouTube. Vinnie Eastwood has been hit by YouTube, and Revolution Radio has been hit by YouTube. So please support the new revolutionradio.tv, or is there revolution.tv? We're gonna we have a slightly screw you attitude with the whole thing. So let's you know, rather than try to fight it, we just build our own. So we've got our own video channel now, revolutionradio.tv. So screw you, YouTube, screw tube. So and other ways of supporting us aside from that is to also to buy. If you want to hear, I mean, I have spoken to some amazing people. I mean, Shari Edwards is one of them. The geniuses, absolute geniuses of our time. You can buy a whole year's worth of Journeys with JP. Just contact Hawk and tell them, you know, I want the DVD with JP. The JP DVD is what you want. And Give them bucks, and we give you DVDs, and you get all this amazing information, incredible people, and sometimes me. Actually, quite a lot of me just blethering on like I am now. But anyway, this is an advert for Revolution Radio. And also, if anybody wants jingles and bumpers and voiceovers, I'm open to that too. Because everybody needs a bob or two, as we say. Good evening. My guest tonight is Shari Edwards, and this is Journeys with JP. Shari, where were we? You were just about to read something out that was vitally important for mankind's progression.
Well, I was loving that thump, the thump, the thump, the thump that was still going on. Everybody was into that. You could feel your heart thumping with it, and that's what we were talking about. The thump, the thump, the thump, with the music.
Yeah, and a lot of the hosts, because you know, it's like this—the lead-in to most of the shows back on Revolution Radio. A lot of the show, we all sing along. We all go. So it's good fun.
And I'd like to say something against YouTube. We had permission from Roger Hodgson. I think that's how you pronounce his last name, who used to be with Supertramp. We were evaluating one of the songs they did for what kind of emotion that was eliciting. The Logical song about Eric Davis that originally sang that song. We had written permission from him. We had a personal version of the song by him. And we did the show and evaluated that the whole song about Please, Please Tell Me Who I Am song, which you probably know about.
Please tell me who I am. That's
yes. I love that song, and I love the message that he went to school to be logical, cynical, and he really wanted to be creative, and the school killed his creativity, and that's what mankind is about and society and blah, blah, blah. They knocked us off with something called Evergreen or Evertree or something like that, and said that we violated copyright. And we took it to the Google Higher Authority. We tried to find these Evergreen people. I don't think they exist. I just think they are bullies hiding behind some address someplace. But even though we had the letter and permission, they still knocked us off, I think, for 6 months. We just went to Vimeo, and we may just end up making our own channel too, because they knocked some guy off because he was playing this in the background at some backyard barbecue. What makes them think that if we have the original artist singing their original song, that they can claim that and dictate and control my life? I hate that. I'm probably going to get smashed for that, because somebody's probably going to come along and try to control me just because I said that, and the universe says that you get what you resist. But being
what you resist persists, yeah.
Being controlled by somebody who really doesn't have the authority ticks me off to no end. And I think that's what's happening to at least a lot of the English speaking world. And maybe all over the world, but I can't speak for them because I'm not over there. And I think this whole thing that we did with Benghazi, where we can now tell by looking at this free computer program that these people who are there are telling the truth, and the entire U.S. government and military and president and secretary of state and Susan Rice and all those people, they are telling the truth to try to manipulate you into thinking that they're good people and they should be elected. I think if the truth about Benghazi had come out before the last election, I don't think Obama would have ever been elected, because people would know that it was just a manipulation. By the way, do you want to really know who was behind Benghazi?
Well, who could it have been?
We evaluated
who would have benefited, you know?
Yeah, well, just take a guess. Who really planned it?
Well, you know, I have a feeling that each of these operations is like an initiation, and that there is one person who plans this thing as a as an operation, and that's part of their, it's like their initiation ceremony. And they, you know, it's like a massive mass sacrifice, but somebody kind of directs it, and it's like a, it's part of their oath-taking ceremonies to do this. But I would say, first the person that came to my mind is Hitlery.
You're right on. We did. Well, picture this. Here's Hillary and here's Obama standing at the podium, soldiers lined up behind them, but there's a passageway out in the airport or whatever you call tarmac, and they're unloading the bodies of these people who were killed in the embassy. And here's Hillary and Obama standing there saying, we're going to get these people who did this awful video, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Now we're finding out that they were in the middle of it, not only from this 13 hours of Benghazi to Dylan Jones, who was telling the truth, but we have sonic polygraphs. And Obama was just there saying that this is the way it's going to be. And I'll go back to Obama's trying to teach us to shut up and be quiet. But when we looked at his voice, it was all about the note of C sharp, which is Taurus. I don't know what it is in your rays. It's orange in, by the way, I'm talking about it. But it is so out of balance with the rest of his voice. Normal is 42. And I think his C sharp was up in the 700s. Someplace, 779. So it's my way or the highway, and it's just going to be this way, and there was a lot of ego involved, and this is what's going to happen, and this is what we're pushing. So we looked then at Susan Rice, who was out there doing all this storytelling with a straight face, and she won't take it back. And hers was all about D sharp and E, and if you want to look at our charts about what each of these notes mean, just go to the site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to downloads, go to Nano Voice, N-A-N-O Voice, and there's a chart there for you to download. There's textbooks there for you to download. There's other software to download, too, but you can see what I'm talking about in looking at these profiles. She was just, E is words, and D-sharp, information broker with words, but she didn't have any balance to that note of E and A sharp. So it meant that she didn't really know what she was saying, didn't have a foundation for it, and she totally didn't. But when you go back and look at Hillary and what she was saying, she has F and F sharp really high. And F and F sharp is the balance between perception and action and the plan. This came from the Hillary camp, bioacoustically speaking, and I have to say that, so I won't be put in jail as a domestic terrorist for causing a riot about Hillary's reputation, but she's the one that...
I thought that she had a murderous, pedophilic, and a molestation reputation, but correct me if I'm wrong, I thought she was not a very nice person in the first place.
I think the story about Hillary that... tells me what she's like is one that happened with Rosie O'Donnell. And Hillary was on Rosie's show when Rosie had a show, and Rosie asked her what would happen about unemployment and people in the streets and that kind of thing. And Hillary gave, I would take care of them, I would do this. So this reporter watched that show, and he went to Rosie O'Donnell's home, all dressed up like a beggar and smelly and whatever, and Rosie brought him in and fed him a meal and gave him a job and whatever. And then he went to Mrs. Clinton's home residence there in New York, and she had him put in jail.
Yep, that's about right. He's lucky. He's lucky.
I tend to describe people by their behaviors.
Yeah, I mean,
and that behavior.
Yeah. A lot of people around... Sorry. I'm so excited. A lot of people around Hillary wake up dead in the morning, you know.
Yes.
There he was gone.
There's a couple of good books about out about Hillary, not written by her, but written about other people that really tell you what's going on. They were bestseller lists a couple months ago. We talked about them on a couple of shows. And looking at... that Klein, I think the guy's name was, looking at what he had written, and he was telling the truth, but with a twist of fantasy. And I don't know if I could find that really quick, but to tell you that there's many things in that book that was set up, and then there was another one about the Clinton feuds. The one that Klein wrote was a put-up. Let me see if I can find Hillary's books here. Hillary Clinton in books. I love this computer. I love the internet.
It's magic. It's magic. We this is what we dreamed of when we were kids, you know, and
yes,
this is it manifesting,
yes.
You know. It still hasn't caught up. It hasn't caught up for me. It hasn't caught up. But I think there are groups who have software that is as good as I want. But anyway, this is interesting. Here was a question from the chat room here. I understand how a device can detect a lie, but how does the software get truth, such as knowing who is behind something? Yeah, because it's about the combination of the frequency the notes, which is very similar to, like, I talk about the rays, that each note has a meaning and each octave has a significance. Do you want to go into a little bit of that, Shari?
Well, it's what's there and what's not there. The lowest octave is your foundation. And if you don't have another octave, if you skip five or six octaves and then have another full octave, then you have a foundation, but it's fantasy. It's full of fantasy. So it's the position of the notes and the notes in relationship and balance to one another. Just like you can have sour notes in a song, you can have sour notes mathematically in somebody's vocal print. And then you know that they had the information or not, or they're telling the truth or not, or there's a void in the voice. And these things are very literal. They need to be filled up like a full song. And when the notes are missing, you really would notice it if somebody was singing something and all of a sudden there was a note that wasn't there. It would jerk your soul when somebody sings a wrong note. Well, it does mine. I don't know if it does for other people. But this book I was talking about, Edward Klein, Blood Feud, and it talks about the Clintons and the Obamas and separation. I think this guy must think we're really stupid, because he describes a very intimate relationships in the back of the book between Hillary and Bill that they never would have given to the public. And it's about, there's nobody else in the room, but they're talking in a very negative way about lots of people. And this Edward Klein wants us to believe that he was eavesdropping on that. Hillary had to tell him, or Bill Clinton had to tell him. There was only two people in the room. So I think that was a deliberate attempt to separate the Obamas and the Clintons. But there's another couple of books coming out that even gives more proof of what is going on. I think Hillary Clinton is one of the most manipulative, backstabbing people in politics, but not nearly as backstabbing as Michelle Obama, for instance. I just think she is a bully. And the stuff that she's trying to do behind the scenes and interfere with our kids' education, that's incredibly backstabbing.
Okay, so Michelle Obama, right? Now, Sean David Morton and I, on this station, we've had this kind of running gag. It was a few months ago. We were just jesting, I was saying to Sean, you know, don't you think that your so-called first lady looks a bit like a linebacker? And so we've had this running gag, and if you type in Michelle Obama is into Google, the second choice down is a man, you know? And so we've been investigating it. And then a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, Joan Rivers blows the whole gaffe, says Obama's gay, you know, because the guy was saying, oh, you do think we'll ever have a gay president? She said, you've already got one and you're Obama. You know, Obama's gay, and his wife, yeah, well, she's a tranny. you know, a transsexual. It's a transgender, yeah. So she really laid it out, and I think they killed her for it.
Wow. Well, yeah. She's certainly got some hormonal issues.
So
when we looked at her.
Do you detect masculine signature in her? Have you ever measured transgendered people's voices, Sherry?
Yes, they have.
Is there a signature?
Yeah, their voices are in conflicting octaves, where part of it will be in one octave and then I'll flip over here, and it's not consistent. The higher the testosterone, the lower the voice is going to be. And the more estrogen, the more higher the voice is going to be. Well, with little kids, don't just adults. But we did 3 or 4 evaluations of Michelle because we were asked the same thing. Is she really a man? And the only place we could tell that she had male personality or biochemistry was when she was talking about she was a child and she was doing something with her father. That came out to be male issues. From then on, when she's talking about Obama being president or what kind of person he is, they are all in scattered octaves that just don't make any sense. The higher the octave, the more estrogen or whatever there's in there for an adult. And hers is just way overbalanced. And I think if she was really that estrogen dominant, she'd have more curves rather than the football thing.
Basically jacked with estrogen to make her appear more feminine. Is that right?
Well, it looks like that bioacoustically, but I'll tell you personally, I don't think she looks feminine at all, so it didn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the neck, right? And Obama has got a more beautiful neck than Michelle, you know?
What do you think, if it's really going to happen, if that comes out, that that's the truth, what do you think's going to happen? What's the public going to think here?
Well, you know, this is like... Not only this is the fraud. It's so blatant now that it's a fraud, and it's like the emperor's new clothes, the emperor's wife, the emperor.
Yes.
All right. So here's the thing, Sherry. Okay. Now, all right. So I need to get really serious here because this is a very major component of what the problem is, and it's very little spoken about. Have you ever worked with the voice patterns and voice signatures of people who have been involved in MK Ultra?
If I have, I don't know it. There's okay. Nobody's come to me and said, evaluate this voice.
Okay.
I have done some sex slave kind of people, and they were just totally Looney Tunes up in fantasy land. We did a couple of people that were involved, they said, in the Philadelphia experiment, and they were rattled. I need to say something before we get off Michelle here.
Mm-hmm.
What we found consistently in her and Obama's voice is they were consistently bullies. My way or the highway kind of thing. Now, Obama didn't start that way, but there he is now. And I predicted months ago that he's just going to walk out. And I think he has. He comes back for these 5-minute little appearances. And we did a thing with him in talking about Foley and getting his head chopped off and then going back to the golf course. So we can talk about that in a minute if you want.
Yeah, I mean, that shows a high degree of separation.
He's totally detached.
So where does so this is what I'm interested in. See, because what I want to know is I've seen these people, right? I've seen and there's also the whole Paul McCartney thing, and I've spoken about that. I don't know if you've got anything about that, but the idea that there are doubles and body doubles that are, you know, interplayed, interchanged in our public life. Because, for instance, there's many, many stories about many, many people about Obama being a gay man, right? And that, you know, we never see him with girlfriends. We always see him hanging out with blokes, smoking pot in the colleges and everything like that. And yet, there's this other guy, right, who goes abroad elsewhere and is flirting with all of these, with all the foreign ministers. You know, all these, like the Dutch prime minister. And taking
the selfies.
And the selfies and all that. There seem to be two Obamas.
If people really want to know, look at the distance between the peaks of the frequencies of their voice, and you'll be able to tell if it's the same person or not. Now, I have never said that on the air, I've never printed it anywhere, but it's time for people to know.
So this is the signature of a person, is the distance between the peaks and frequencies, yes? Their interval, literally.
Yes, yes. And that way you can tell. I've done that with crank calls for the police and things like that. But this is the first time I've ever let that out to the public.
Okay, so if you're listening to this program, like I said, it's very important to listen to this program because this contains important information. And if the internet ever goes down, this is one show that you want to keep and give to somebody who knows about this stuff. Because this is information how to tell, how to discern and discriminate and know what's true and what's not true. And it's all about the way frequencies interact with each other. And if necessary, gather a group of people like scientists and musicians around you to see if you can figure it out for yourselves. Because this is what it's all about. We need to figure this stuff out for ourselves. But there are people who are doing the groundwork and the foundation work and starting from the lowest octave up. And Shari Edwards, I salute you a lot. Bless your heart.
Well, I'm going to come back and haunt you if they do something to me.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
They've
in the same way that Dave's come back to haunt me. he's here all the time.
There are people who are trying to destroy our reputation and all that kind of stuff. You know, I have taught this to so many people, and we have several ladder rungs where each of the people in this group of about 12 have a piece of the information. So if I die, they're all going to come back together and put it all out there in the open. And there'll be 12 of them and not just me out here doing it. But I would like to share some other things with people to show them how they're being manipulated.
Do. I just want to say that is what I would call a Hydra formation. You cut off his head, and 10 more grow. And,
yes.
You can.
I like that.
Yeah. So the Hydra maneuver. And that will set things right. But however, I don't want to see that because I love you, and I want to continue having shows with you and revealing the truth to people as long as we possibly can.
Do you think they really want to know the truth?
I think there are a group of people, they need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. They're us. They're our brothers and sisters, and we're all kind of awakening from a daze from 13,000 years, and we're just kind of waking up and realizing that we're here to do something that is to do with frequency. We're here to do something to do with healing. We're here to do something to do with connection. We're here something to do with crystals. We're here something to do with meditation. We're here something to do with health. You know, the whole thing.
Well, I think if we give people this information, along with it comes a lot of responsibility, and that's a heavy weight. So giving the people the tools and the options, we also want to try to support them at the same time. And I'd like to give them some examples about how they are being absolutely lied to.
Go ahead.
When we look at CDC and how they're being lied to there, that go ahead and give your kids these measles shots And now these kids are mentally traumatized, and there's not a lot of hope except for something like we're doing with I'm trying to think of this all at the same time and pull up something. There's
soft
things
metals.
Yes.
Soft metals, aluminium and mercury, or sorry, aluminum and mercury are the two metals that are infused in our environment, in our heads. They screw it into our heads and as it gradually leaches its way into my prostate gland.
And they're also putting in there something called hematoglutinin. And we said years ago these vaccinations are causing microstrokes. Well, we find out this hematoglutinin is in there, and that causes the blood to coagulate and clot. So we've been on the trail of this all along in wanting this to come out and help people. We've got a big project going on with statins. So if we give people the tools, and I sent you an article about what was happening with Gardasil. Did you get that article?
No. Well, let me see. Which one of my million email addresses did you send it to, Sherry?
I sent it to Skype where we were talking.
Oh, that one. Okay, let me just go. Sherry, there we go. No,
there's,
it's this one.
There's,
it's the one that we're in, isn't it? Yeah, here we go.
There's
oh,
article.
Yes. Yes.
Information about Gardasil. Everything, we already talked about that everything has a frequency.
Yes.
And so we took these Gardasil vaccinations and we broke them down into their DNA component parts and we decoded them. And we found out that with only one exception, every one of the Gardasil shots is an anti-fertility drug or chemical. So here we are, and there's articles come out about this. One of the references in this article, you can put that up on your site, or if people want it, write to me and we'll get it to you, or we'll get it up on our site. But the government gave $1.2 million to push Gardasil among poor rural areas and the poor inner cities. They deliberately targeted the people that they thought were promiscuous or too stupid to know that this Gardasil shot was really infertility. Now it's coming out that it really is. Some of these girls are 6 to 10 years into this. Even when Diane Harper, the original person, said this is not an issue, this will go away by itself, it's not to treat cancer, and that's how they sold it. It's mandatory in California. But if you have gotten the HPV-1, that is the parathyroid hormone frequencies, screws with your hormones, your thyroid, the calcium necessary for fertility. HPV-11 directly messes up and is competition with progesterone. And I know this is a little off of the subject, but I'm going to bring it right back on. HPV-16 interferes with calcitonin and some of your liver enzymes for male fertility. And HPV-18 is a direct hit. These are the people that are really having the trouble getting pregnant. Direct hit on estrogen and testosterone. So somebody, whether it's all of these bankers or Illuminati, somebody's pulling the strings to try to decrease the population in poor inner cities and rural America. And I think it's just because they think we're stupid. So,
Kissinger,
go ahead.
Kissinger used to call them the useless eaters.
Yeah, we've done an evaluation.
Hey,
of
would
that,
you, yeah, that what's Kissinger about? You know, where I mean, he's must be like one of the major masterminds of the 20th century.
Let me see.
In terms of like behind all the crap that's been going on,
I think Kissinger and some of the other people that I don't have it on this computer. I think we're in the mood of the mafia. What's the difference between give me protection money for your business, I won't break your windows, or give me tax money because I'll put you in jail and take your property. if you don't. What's the difference?
Exactly. Different names.
We are in a mob society, and we're being terrorized. And now we're like cattle. Let's inject the cattle with frequencies that cause them not to be fertile, because they're a drain on the economy.
Depopulation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Useless eaters.
They call it the Agenda 21, depopulation agenda. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a real thing. And the aim is to get down to the Georgia Guidestones. It's kind of the big Rosetta Stone. But like 500 million people maximum on the planet. That's the Georgia Guidestones, which is the same agenda as the depopulation. So, yeah, that's the aim. They want to kill 90% of the human race on the surface of the planet.
God, who's going to get them their tax money? Okay, next step they're doing, they've done the CDC with the vaccinations, they're doing the Gardasil, they've poisoned our water with radiation, they've poisoned our air with radiation, they poisoned our food and GMOs. Now they're trying to kill us off quicker.
Yeah.
With something called statins.
Yep.
Statin drugs attack your liver and don't allow you to make the frequencies or to use the frequencies that keep each cell fresh and alive. It's the vital force. And that's what radiation is doing. And that's why people need to get rid of the free radicals, which is another software that we're giving away. Free radicals. Right now we're giving away nutrition software, we're giving away radiation exposure software, but just a few things that this statin drugs to reduce your cholesterol, and we talked about this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They can cause male infertility. There's tremendous side effects like dizziness and muscle weakness. They wreck the muscles and deteriorate them, not just make them weak. They're never to be given to somebody with diabetes, and we had somebody in last week that they were trying to put on statin drugs. Statin drugs, if you go look up the research, you'll find it's glorified vitamin B3, niacin. And you can get some subliminal niacin under your tongue, sublingual, I should say, not subliminal. Would mean it's not there. And another thing called lipotropin, and find it on the internet or call our office and ask where it is. There's a couple of books, Lipitor, The Dark Side of Statins, and one called How Statins, it's too little, I can't see it, How Statin Drugs Really Lower Cholesterol. And this is something we tried to put out on Facebook today, and they refused to let us put it out. But how it increases your fat. There's liver damage. It's linked to Alzheimer's. So we are putting classes together to help people look at their own liver health. So if we can get this out to people somehow, but let me see. Let's post it on our website so people can get involved, because we have some matching scholarships for people to take this. But I'm going to go a step further and make it even sweeter. People are taking these classes and making $30 to $50 an hour to help people get well again, because our health system is in such crisis. Right now, the biggest crisis comes in two directions, one from ISIS and one from Ebola, and they're kind of linked. I told you before, they had a crash into some ISIS stronghold, and they got a hold of a laptop, and it said that they're going to put out bubonic plague in the United States someplace. I have an article with the frequencies in it. I just sent it to JP. The frequencies that are the antidotes that we have already figured out. And these are for people who have Rife machines. The antidote for the bubonic plague is 141.25 cycles per second. The antidote for the medieval strain of some of these plagues, we have those ready for you if you want them. Now, we don't suggest that you use them willy-nilly, that you have to know what you're doing. You have to have been trained in some Rife protocols, but we have to put them out for the people. The other one is we have been working with a couple of countries, and we have decoded the Ebola. There is one gene and nine strains, killer strains of Ebola. And I do believe this is man-made. And I think it's man-made. Go ahead.
Are they genetically targeted?
I think, well, in a way. When you look at the hemophiliac gene that makes people bleed, that's what these proteins, Ebola, has been based on. When you get exposed to the measles, the gene that carries all the information for that critter gets into your body, either through your nasal or somebody touching you or whatever. It sets up housekeeping. And what it puts off as a byproduct of its housekeeping is what makes you sick. That's the protein that's making the body sick. And when you look at the gene frequency, and it's a note of D, when you look at that for this present killer strain of Ebola, it is identical to the third decimal point to the hemophiliac gene. Now, there's nine species, strains of this, I should say, because it's mutated, or somebody has mutated it. And in some cases, the antidote for one strain is the activator for the other. So we have withheld a couple of things, but what we would like to do is to provide all of your listeners with this software, and we're going to call it Are You Ready or Ebola or something. We don't know yet. It was just completed today with the artwork and everything. And even if it's 10,000 of you, we've written a new registration program so we can do all of that at once, so that when on 9/11, a couple days, if they do pull something, and because I think a lot of this Ebola crap might be just false flag and trying to scare you into, oh my God, you're going to get this and you've been exposed, blah, blah, blah. You can talk into your computer program and you can say, no, I haven't been exposed. Here, I don't have this frequency in my chart, and you can call their bluff and say, no vaccine for me. They'll probably put you in jail or some kind of concentration camp. But if there's enough of them, of us, we can call their bluff. If you want this program, I think we need to put it up on our site rather than having you guys request it. And that it gets up on the site tomorrow under downloads. And if you don't know how to download something, write to me. Let everybody know that this is going to be available. Everybody you know, all your Facebook and your LinkedIn and all your radio stations, we have a way to call their bluff. They're not going to be able to say, there was 11 planes and we shot them down and they're all full of radiation and Ebola and bubonic plague. Because right here we have the frequencies to undo it, especially those of you who have Rife machines, you can put in the frequency antidotes. Now, for those of you who've been trained in bioacoustics, it's a whole different way. So don't be using these numbers. Get in touch with some of our study groups and find out how to use these numbers. But what happens with this, with the Ebola gene, it messes up your potassium cell salts and your vitamin E. It also competes with your iron. That's why it's causing this bleeding. Competes with iron, glycine, vitamin A, and sodium iodide, and B1. So you, when B1 gets too low, then it can cause this bleeding. And for every strain, we have figured out the nutritional antidote, whether it's a magnesium cell salt or threonine, and we try to explain each of these. this graph is in this paper that I sent to JP. Is there a place where you can put this up on your site, JP?
I'm sure that we can find one. There's a module called Health Information that I've been trying to find out how to write into. But I can certainly put it on everbeyondradio.com. Eventually I'll find a way of putting it on Wolf Spirit Radio, but certainly on everbeyondradio.com you can come and download a copy. I will make a post about this show. We wanted to keep it quiet because in the dying 15 minutes of the show, Shari, I'd like you to share some of the problems that you've had over the last few weeks as you've been trying to share this information. This is why I kept it quiet. So do go ahead if you can.
My emails have been put off in the wild blue yonder. Any mailing thing that we sent out, like we're having this class next week, and it's about cholesterol and cleaning your liver. We can't even get that past anybody to send it out. We don't know if we're going to have to go back to U.S. mail, but they're targeting our telephones. People can't get through. Especially long-distance landlines can't get through to us to even sign up for this or even to ask for it. So if you're running into problems with our website being screwed up to no end, try to get in touch with us somehow. Our phone number, 740-698-9119. We're Eastern Time. We try to take calls between 10 and 4. If you want to train with us, we have some matching scholarships. We have some free classes. We need to start these communities, in these bioacoustic communities, in every community. AT&T has said this is the medicine of the future, and we're trying to get it to people. Go to our website under downloads. Right now, there's a nutrition software there. There's Abacus software there. There's whole steps on do this, 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 and this. There's a textbook. You have to buy a microphone. And if I was buku rich, I would pass out microphones. That's how important this stuff is. Radiation exposure software, this. We've had a couple people take that free class, and they're out there on the West Coast doing this for people. Takes them 20 minutes to do it, and they're charging people $50 at a time. I can't help if people charge, but I'm trying to get this to people for free. Somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to do it. What we need is an app writer, a little genius, who can take an Android and do this thing.
Yes!
That can do this, and then you've got a tricorder, haven't you? You've got Star Trek level technology in your phone, and everybody can download it, and everybody can heal, because we're humans, right? And humans' purpose, in my humble, is to heal each other. That's their highest purpose, is to heal and to nourish and nurture and make good and make better and love. And if we're given a tool that will give us a direct access to that, that is part of our smartphone, we can heal ourselves and each other.
I absolutely think you are correct. And I am turning on our wonderful sound. We have a sound that is running that will make you think you've eaten chocolate. How's that?
That might be difficult for me to tell because I've been eating chocolate. But anyway, let's get this brown note, and not that brown note, but the better brown note.
We need trainers. We need people who will help set up the centers. We need people who can give their time and help us do the research. We need people who have some money to spare to provide donations so people can take these classes. And we need an app writer. That's awesome. And we also need people to make some music. I can send these frequencies to JP and see if he can put some music together. We already did this with something called La Ciel. and it was frequencies put together for the flu season, and it has reduced Tamiflu-resistant bird flu and pneumonia, bronchitis, nasal infections. It really works. We give it away in our classes. So we know this stuff works. We just need to get it to the public and to not be squished. You know, if we can send this announcement to you and you can get it to your people, they won't be directly targeting me about it. We've been trying to get this article out, and it's being stopped at every direction. We finally sent it through somebody else's email to a very large large audience talk show person. She's a very small person. But we were finally able to get it to her, and we're going to be on the show and release this same information. JP's show is the very first one we've released it on, because he allows me to be a little crazy.
Well, we go back a long way. I've actually met you. I mean, you're one of the very few people who have actually stood in front of shared space, shared cups of tea with, and although we live on the opposite sides of the Atlantic, we've actually got a physical ground connection. We met in Glastonbury in 1995. It was a pivotal moment in my life, because you showed me something that I knew somehow there was, and you showed me that it was the way to do it. It's, you know, that it's obvious. It's all through frequency, and then everything started to fall into place, that everything is frequency. And so, that's the basis of the teachings, isn't it? That in the beginning is the vibration, and it's the law of vibration is the one law, the law of one.
Absolutely. Yes. And we try to give people this information and also try to support them. We have a lot of free focus classes for you to take the information and use it and make a difference. We've been doing this for a lot of years, and it's just time to step out. We can't afford to do it, but we have to do it. Because I think if they're doing this false flag thing, we can throw it back in their face and say, I can't think of a word bad enough that somebody would do this to the whole United States. I hope I'm wrong. I hope nothing happens on 9/11. But if it does, if we can get this distributed, we'll have a choice. We'll have options, solutions to not all of us dying under either vaccinations or bubonic plague.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like the time when shit's gotten real, and it's time to step up, and all of those things that we've been hearing as cliches for years. This feels like the harvest time. This is the harvest time of harvest times. This is September, and September is time of harvest, and this is the harvest of souls, I believe. And the way we stand now, if we can stand in a place of calm, in a place of compassion, in a place of peace, no matter what is going on around us, without freaking out, then we'll have passed and we'll be harvested to another place. and if we don't, then we just, rinse and repeat. And nobody wants that. So, everybody do their best. It's like, try and be calm. Try and make rational decisions, because you could make a decision that was based on hot blood.
If people have suggestions on who we can get this to or how to make it better, please get in touch. And if we don't answer you, it means we didn't get it. So try again.
All right, the chocolate note. Shari Edwards, let's leave on the chocolate note, brothers and sisters.
If they listen really carefully, it's that note. It's the reason why men bring women chocolate. It puts them in a receptive mood.
Ooh, here we go.
Want me to turn it up?
Yeah, turn it right up.
Oh, my whole table is vibrating. Can
I can't.
You,
I can't hear anything yet.
It's sort of like, kind of like that in the background.
All right.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you so much, Shari Edwards. God bless you.